Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, and I'm here with John Harry Turan, and we are talking about dreams and the stories told in the night. And we're going to look at how dreams relate to our waking life and examine if there's any purpose or reason for them, or are they just phantoms of a tired mind? And the truth, as we're going to find out, is that they are really just a different level of consciousness and can be used for guidance and success. So here to guide us, so that we can understand more about this topic, is my good friend, John Harry Turan. John, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you, Steve?
I summed it up in one word. I'm wonderful. I'm always doing very well when I'm talking with you because I get excited about learning, excited about growing, and excited about how everyone else is going to benefit from this. John, I'd like you to start us off by telling us about these things we call dreams. You know, I have dreams every now and then. Sometimes they're kind of crazy dreams. Sometimes they make sense. Sometimes I don't really know how they fit into my life or how they benefit me. And then there are other people who claim that they never dream. They never have any kind of fantasy life when they go to sleep. It's just they go to sleep, they wake up, they don't remember anything. So tell us about these things that we call dreams.
Okay, good. That's a good place to start this little talk. But I'll reverse the order a little. The one you said that there are people who say they never dream. The thing is, most of those people don't remember their dreams. It has been shown scientifically that we dream, we actually need to dream to stay sane. So that's another thing built into our system. So if we don't dream, they show that strange things happen to us. We get irritable, we seem not to pay attention, and if we are dream deprived, and I'm not talking sleep deprived as much as dream deprived, things don't seem to go right with us. So dreaming might just be a natural part of who we are as a human being. But these are stories told in the night. By that I mean you work all day, you focus on your computer or your truck or your car or whatever job you have, teaching or anything, and it all seems so very, very real. And it is. It is because you are in a waking state and you're able to see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and touch the five senses, so to say. And then you go to sleep and you don't know what happened to all those things you used to see. You become kind of unconscious in a way, although the body is very capable of maintaining itself throughout that period. It repairs, cells are repaired. You're recharged, lots of things happen, most of which we do not know and are now only exploring in some of our great universities in the world. And all of a sudden, into your mind, there is like you're living a whole different life. Things happen. You see pictures, you hear voices, you do things, you participate in events. You could be walking through a field, and there's this giant bull that chases you. And you say to yourself, how do I get out of this? And the chances are you know right away how to get out of it. You wake up, something wakes you up. So these are stories told in the night. And for centuries, for millennia, if you will, people have wondered, is there any meaning to this? They have studied it, and they've come up with a full barrel or full truckload of explanations. I don't think any one explanation says it right or says everything about it, but I think when you take all of them together, you begin to see a sequence of things, and you begin to find bits and pieces of meanings. Now, I don't know anything about other people's dreams because I can't be them dreaming the dream for them. They have to do that themselves. But I know a little bit about my dreams and how these dreams affect the real world. And actually, I know quite a bit about the studies that have been done in dreams. They have a big center called the Maimonides Dream Center in New York where they study a lot of these things. And every university, I think, has something of that nature. But we all have very personal dreams. Some of them are frightening, almost like nightmares. Some of them are beautiful, almost angelic. And the question has always been throughout time, what do these messages, if they are messages, what do these messages in the night mean?
I think that's fascinating, John. I think that that is what people have wondered for so long. I mean, I can imagine cave people and so forth having dreams and wondering what they are. And all the way up until our modern day, we're still many times wondering what they are. We wake up and we think, what was that all about? Sometimes maybe it's based on anxiety. Sometimes maybe it's based on things that we need to learn. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What drives dreams?
Yeah, I think there are different types of dreams. There is the dream when, let's say, if somebody has had too much alcohol or somebody is drunk, I wouldn't trust that dream because what has happened is that a lot of systems in the body have been affected. And as a result, you're getting a distorted picture. It's like having a movie projector. Do you still remember those things now that computers are all over the place? The old-time movie projector and the
Oh,
screen
yeah.
is shaking. You do remember, do you, Steve? Okay.
Absolutely.
We don't want to make people think how old I could be. But if there's a lot of dust and smudges on the projector's, what do you call that glass, the thing that focuses it, the lens, the projector lens, then the picture is not going to be very clear. So that happens under certain circumstances with dreams. It's like an alternate reality is projecting itself through our heads. But yet, I don't think if you take somebody who is dreaming and you take the brains apart, I do not believe, at least some of my friends who are brain surgeons say this, well, you can't find the dream in there. It's almost like if you are watching TV and you have somebody who came from an ancient tribe that doesn't know anything about modern day stuff. And this person looks at that TV and sees people talking, hears them talking, see cars running around. He would tend to want to see, knock on the TV and see, where are these people? Maybe they're inside of it. And yet, the television is a transmission instrument. So I think these things go through a filter, they're in our brains, and they're interpreted for us. Now, somebody would say, how can that be? My answer is, damned if I know. Most people do not know. We think we know a lot of stuff, and yet we might just be scratching the surface. For example, does anyone know that you really do see upside down? That's how the lens work. That's how the lens of a camera work. And the lens in your eyes are just like a camera lens. And so whatever you're looking at is being actually is an upside down image if you were to look at the lens through the lens alone. Now, here's the funny thing. Why then do you see things upright? Although there are cases of a few people on Earth that I've read of who always saw upside down. Don't ask me for the explanation. I do not know. But I know that what the brain does, it filters and processes this image. And it interprets it for you so you see it as if it's a right side up thing. So I think that's exactly what happens to dreams. And you cannot take dreams totally like, this is what I dreamt. This is what's going to happen. Although I think some of that is there. They're prophetic dreams. First of all, we have to understand that there are different kinds of dreams, just like there are different continents, different kinds of people and animals and so forth. There are different kinds of dreams. There are those that I call dreaming true. Now, I know a lot about this one because I have a sister. Ever since she was a little girl, she'd dream true, with a few little minor variations due to her inability to explain exactly what she was dreaming. To this day, she calls me and she says, are you okay? I know you are, but I had this dream. I want to tell you about it. And would you believe those are the things that will happen or have just happened? Now, that might say, well, couldn't you tell whether it will happen or that it just happened? No, because remember in an earlier discussion, we discussed time and its mysteries. Is it all happening at one time, or is it sequential? Is it concurrent, or is it sequential? Is the past totally the past and the future unknown, or is it all simultaneous? And my belief is towards the simultaneity of time. And so in your dreams, you're dealing with a different level of consciousness. It's one where time might not be. that important as it is to us in this physical world. It might be that you are dreaming of some place you were long, long ago. How many times we have dreams of our childhood? I have dreams of walking the streets of the village I grew up in. And then, to me, those are different types of dreams than dreaming true messages of warning. Crazy dreams where you have eaten too much. You've heard people say, when you tell a dream, they say, I think you had too much to eat. Another time I don't spend too much energy in worrying about the dream is if I'm not feeling well, if we're sick. That right there shows us that whenever there are disruptive situations in the body, physical, the dreams might be affected. Here's an example of what I'm talking about. Let's say it's nice 68 or 70 degrees in bed, and you check the thermostat and you go to bed, and you fall asleep. You're very comfortable. And sometime late at night, you have this feeling that you're in a building where it is so hot and you don't know what to do, but you feel you can't breathe. You've got to get out of this building and so forth. And then finally, you get so uncomfortable, you wake up. The best way to end a dream is waking up. And there are ways of doing that. Generally, it'll happen by itself automatically. And when you wake up, you discovered, oh my gosh, it's stifling in this room. And you check your thermostat, and instead of turning it down 5 degrees, as you would normally do, some people would do before going to bed, they accidentally turned it up 5 degrees. And by doing that, it became so hot, the body became uncomfortable. And this dream was created that you're in this house or this office, and it's so hot. And you get up, and you say, what's going on? And then you realize what has happened, and you adjust the thermostat. So there are dreams like that. There are dreams when you eat too much. There are dreams when you were drunk. There are dreams when you're sick, and so forth. You have to know when they are. What are these dreams? Now, here's one of the interesting things that I have discovered, and I've read about also, that you will know when a dream is really, really very important. You see, every event coming to us in this life comes on a stream of consciousness and on an energy beam or beams. Maybe there are multiple events that are coming to us. Okay, here are some. You're going to get married to this person. You're not going to get married. Yes, you're going to live together, not married. Yes, you will leave this area. You will go. There are all kinds of possibilities, but some of the more pronounced one will come through to you at a deep subconscious level. Actually, scientists have shown that events announce themselves in a way. They call it the bow wave effect, B-O-W, from the bow of a boat, because they say if you were to check the little waves and the effect on the ocean of a boat that's traveling, take one of those big oil tankers, way before it's visible, there is an effect in the waves that you're seeing. You can measure them. It's like announcing the coming of this big boat. It's called the bow wave effect. And they think that all events let you know a little bit ahead of their coming, and you can do things to either change their directions or to enhance the coming of that event. Now, I am not talking about little things like one of my friends once said, you know, I had this dream that I won the big lottery, millions of bucks. Too bad it's only a dream. I said, you know, you ought to have banked it, put it in the bank before you woke up. So when you are up in the morning, there will be in your bank. But of course, that's a facetious example, because dream times are separated from our awake times.
That makes perfect sense, John. You know, we're getting a lot of questions about this topic. If you're okay, I'd like to introduce you to a few of those questions.
Okay, fine.
Okay. And the first one is very fascinating to me, because it ties into something that I'm interested in. Of course, having my early years, my bachelor's degree is in psychology before I switched gears and followed up with education. But William from Sydney, Australia says, how do dreams tie into Jungian archetypes?
I think they're all related. I think every dream is related to every other dream, to the Jungian archetypes, to the mass consciousness or the universal consciousness or whatever it is we think surround the Earth or the different planets. And whatever theory we come up with, I think dreams, because they are in many respects life-affirming, are tied in, just like we said yesterday or the other day, about everything is connected to everything else. I do not know if we can pick out one single factor to explain it, but there is a connection. Now, talking about that, I just want to jump ahead for one little moment on this thing about that I was going to mention earlier, and it slipped my mind because I got caught up in dreams, by the way. Don't mind the pun. It was like, think this example, and I don't want to forget this example as we go on because we get so carried away with this whole topic that we might. Think of ourselves as being able to do both, dreaming and being awake at the same time. Now, the major problem with that would be, how do we know when we're dreaming, or how do we know when we are in the physical universe, physical earth or building, looking at something that is during a waking moment? And it is a good thing that we do not dream consciously and stay awake consciously at the same time generally, although there are those who have trained themselves to do it, or they can do it without even training. They just were born with that ability, but could separate them totally. You know, it's like multitasking, something that I am not good at times. I remember having a TV with a picture-in-picture thing. You know those ones? And you're watching two TV screens, and I always get a headache from that because I'm trying to focus on two different things. Now, here is what is interesting. Think about midday, bright sunlight. It's a lovely day, not a cloud in the sky. And you look up and you say, oh, lovely day, beautiful clear sky. And then think it gets to midnight and you look up and in the sky it's still a clear day and you see lots and lots of stars in the sky. My question is this, and a question we should all ask ourselves. Where do those stars go during the day when the sun is bright? And the answer, of course, is obvious. They didn't. The stars don't go away. When morning comes, they still exist, but in a different way. Because of the brightness of the sun, because of the brightness of our physical or the earth consciousness that we use in the waking moments, all the other messages, all the other dreams and observations and different levels of consciousness are sort of blocked out for the time being. Because, you see, if that wasn't the case, we'd really get a little bit confused. Does that make sense at all? I think it does, but what do you think, Steve?
I think it makes perfect sense, and I think that ties everything together very nicely. And I have another question here from John in Alaska, and John wants to know, are dreams related to astral projection?
Ah, that's a very, very important and insightful question. Let me tell you why. Many times when people are going through what we call out-of-body experiences or astral projection or astral travel, they might tend to confuse this with a dream. They might think they're dreaming. In fact, many people do that kind of projection or travel quite a lot, but they think they're dreaming. Because in astral projection, you're not using the body, just like in dreams. You're not using the physical body. The physical body is sleeping. Although mediums, trans mediums, could just be sitting there and go into a different stage of a different type of reality. So they are related in a way, but they're totally different. Actually, in the astral projection, you are just like your conscious during the day, and you're watching things that are a little bit strange because a lot of people don't do this often or think of it or don't even believe in it. But you could find yourself, in fact, there are many, many cases where somebody thinks that he or she woke up and they're standing at the corner of the room and they're looking at the bed, and there's somebody sleeping in their bed, and they go over and they look at the person, and it is this person. And he either scares himself so much that he gets back into his body very quickly, there's a slight headache, and he's up, he's awake. However, if you practice this, and you try to not control. I don't believe control is a good thing. I think managing. If you try to manage it properly, you'll be able to say, okay, that is me. I'm safe. I am now going to experiment. I will go outside and see what's happening. And the strange thing occurs. They start moving outside. But at the speed of thought, remember, you're now in what we call the etheric body, if that's a good term to use. It's a non-physical body, and they're different ones anyway. And as you think, you're there. And then you could think in both dreams and astral travel that, you know, I want to go back to my boyhood home and see what it's like. And before you can end the thought, you're there. In astral projection, what you will see is how that house, your boyhood house, appears right now in the date and time you're dreaming or projecting. Whereas in the dream, you can go back to that time. You generally, not you can, they could be intermixed. You can go back to that time. Let's say you were a little boy. You were a boy of maybe 10 years old. And you will see it as it was 10 years old. Now, the next question I know, which is logical, well, since there is no time space in this whole situation, this whole scenario, couldn't I then do that in astral projection, go back to a place and also go back to a time? And my answer is yes. And you could say to me, John, you can drive a car. You've been driving a car for so many years. So couldn't you possibly fly a 747 jet? And my answer is yes, if I learned how, and I learn well enough. So it's not a matter of one is totally different from the other, but how the difference between driving my car and trying to fly a jet plane or a fighter jet, because I have to get into it a little at a time, practice first with the one. So there is a difference. In dreams, I think the problem is, since there are so many, not a problem, I hate to say that, I'm sorry. The situation is such that there are different levels of dreams. One of them is the actual thing I told you about, the sister I have who dreams true. It means that things that she dreams generally comes true, because that's how it has been with her forever. She is the only one who does this in my family. Plus, I do it sometimes too, but I try to stay away from it. Not because of any bad things or good things. It's okay. And if it happens, it happens. But there is the type of dream where that I call the symbolic dream, where you get certain symbols. For example, let's say water. You look out and there is this beautiful lake of blue water. And this is a universal symbol. It's like cleansing and peace and healing. If you were to see horrible fires and so forth, it shows the symbol is like there is confusion or cleansing by fire. Another universal dream is sheaves of wheat, which signifies abundance. But the only person to be able to really do, with a few exceptions again, to really interpret somebody else's dream is that person who is having the dream, because that person is most familiar with his or her own symbols. And there we went from astral projection back into dreams. But I hope there was an answer there for our friend from Alaska, Steve.
I think you covered the answer and quite a bit more, and I appreciate that. I like how you're able to, with your wealth of knowledge, just springboard off of these questions and cover so much more than they asked, and really enhance our learning experience here. Here's another question, John. This one's from Amelia in New Jersey, and she writes, how are lucid dreams different than regular dreams?
Lucid dreams, there is something we call lucid dreaming, where you can manage your dream. You can give yourself instructions to dream the solution to problems. You can give yourself directions and instructions to get answers from your dream. And so in the dream, you're like a bystander. Remember, I had to learn English in school, okay? You're like a bystander. watching your dream and participating in the same time and remembering this dream. You could give yourself instructions very simply by doing a number of things. One, by preparing for it. Remember we talked, I think, in one of our series about what I call the alpha time, between sleeping and waking. And this works beautifully for dreaming also. You say to yourself, if you think you don't remember your dreams, you start practicing this way. I'm going to remember my dreams. I'm going to remember my dreams. And when you get to the point where you remember them, you could go one step further. When you go through first grade, you can then go to second or third and say, you know, now I've got this problem in the physical world. The company I'm working for is having a lot of layoffs. I am not sure what they intend to do with me. I could possibly be laid off, I could be fired, or I could stay on with them. I'm getting a little tired of being here since I've been here for a long time and I never got a raise, even though I worked so hard and I did the best I could. I need some guidance, and I would like to dream some alternate actions to take, or what to avoid and what to accept. And if you do that, notice we're coming back to this word again. If you do that, trusting the process and believing that this is possible, believing that it's possible, maybe the first night nothing happens. You have no dream. And the second night nothing happens. The third night you might have a dream totally unrelated to that. It's not that you are not dreaming the thing you want to, but you haven't practiced enough. And then all of a sudden, because you're still getting the answer and you're not remembering it, and all of a sudden, one day where you forgot all about wanting to do this and getting answers and stuff like that, you develop again. You remember what I talked about? I keep using it as one of the themes, a divine don't give a damn attitude, which means not attached to outcomes. You don't care. At this point, you don't care if you dream it or not. And suddenly, it's free to dream you. And then you have this dream in which you see this plant being remodeled, and it's like the plant that you were working in or the company you were working in is sold to somebody else or some other company, and you see all your friends leaving the building with their attaché cases or their iPhone or whatever it is we use when we go to work. I forgot, people don't use attaché cases like they used to long ago, but you see them leaving this building and they're going to the parking lot and they all look sad, and you look around and one person seems familiar and you look at him more carefully and you're actually looking at you. Now this is an answer in your dream. It's saying, look, John, they like you and all that stuff and they like all of you, but economic times are kind of tough. They will have to sell this business, and you and all your friends are going to have to find other jobs. Now, timing is very poor in dreams. To this day, I couldn't tie in the timing at all. I get a feeling of far or near or somewhere in between, but I couldn't say this will happen in 3 months. And then you will know that that's a true dream. It's only a matter of time now. So what it's telling you to do is very simple. It's answering a question for you. It's saying, look, you were wondering about your job? Don't wonder. It's going away. It is going away. The company is going to be sold. Everything is going to be moved. Everybody is going to have to find other jobs. So what direction do you take from that dream? Look for another job. And since if this is going to happen in 3 months or 1 month or 6 months, since you trust it and you start looking that early, chances are you won't be shocked and you will find a job before you're laid off. You see what I mean?
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense, John. And I look forward to learning a lot more about this as we continue learning about dreams.